This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by StrengthCoach.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 126 for the week of March 8th, 2009. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off with us is Jonathan Fass of AcceleratedStrength.com and JonathanFass.blogspot.com. What's up, John?
Nothing. How's it going?
Outstanding. Then we got Cassandra Forsyth of CassandraForsyth.com. Cass, how you been?
I was sick this week, but I'm great now.
Yay. Then we got the man, the mystery, Mr. Manhattan, Tony Gentilcore.
Watchmen. T-minus what, 3.5 hours, Kev?
3.5 hours, yep. We are going to see Watchmen in IMAX today with... I have prepared my food and everything. We're going to be... at least I'll be doing it the right way. Tony will be going nuts on a bag of beef jerky. I'll be going nuts on exactly 2 ounces weighed of beef jerky and 28 grams of almonds, also weighed by my fantastic digital scale made by Taylor. Bought at Target.
Okay.
Indeed. Actually, do you guys, who weighs their food on this podcast? Raise your hand.
I don't really weigh it.
Yeah, not too often anymore. Once in a while.
Because I'm getting kind of like a groove. I kind of like it. Like, there's no guessing. There's just a digital number that pops up, tells you exactly how much. Mm. And these digital ones are awesome because you can keep zeroing out the scale. Like, if you want to throw a plate, or if you have, obviously, like a measuring cup that you want to weigh things in, or a mixing bowl, like for my eggs, I find that... to be very convenient, and for $30 you really can't go wrong. It's even cheaper on Amazon, but You know what, that's our question of the week. Who weighs their food out there? Just send us yes or no. I'll make it a poll in the show notes. Fair enough. The first thing I want to talk about quickly is that Craig Ballantyne joined me for an interview that will be showing up at the end of the show, or the end of the main part of the show. We also have a pretty lengthy off-topic discussion after that where we talked about a lot of off-topic stuff, but we also did include some nutrition stuff in there as well, so it's probably going to be worth listening to at least the last 5 minutes of that. Or you can listen to Tony and John talk about why Kim Kardashian is actually good looking, but I disagree.
Will you actually tape that?
I think so.
Oh wow!
Maybe I didn't.
Oh,
I don't think you did.
No, I didn't. Okay, well, she's still ugly. And the next next thing, huge.
Those are fighting words. That's all I'm going to say.
Am I going to walk back out to my car and
I'm
have
totally
going to
pee
tires?
Your car tonight? Yeah.
The next piece of news that I want to quickly bring up is that the lovely folks at SteelStretch.com sent me some garments from their line. Basically, SteelStretch, they make products that are very similar to Under Armour, but they are less than half the price. And if you go to SteelStretch.com, you'll see that they have a... I think their main location is in Ohio. Yes, it's in Ohio. But you can actually order this stuff online. And I have tried out their what would be considered like their winter long sleeve steel stretch, their short sleeve, and they also have a long sleeve that's for the warm, the summertime, I guess, for warm weather. And I'm going to do a full review of this stuff on probably Tuesday or Wednesday on the fitcast.com. But first impressions, I love this stuff. And it's actually better than Under Armour. It's more comfortable.
Tighter?
No, it's actually not tighter. but it's the fabric, the way they weave.
do they have size jack?
No, but I'm sure you can ask them for size. Baby's small. And
little brother size.
Yeah, little bro.
Yeah.
And the oh god, I'm lightheaded right now from laughing, and I think it's just because I'm about to pass out. Legitimately, but they do have like a no risk guarantee. They'll give you 100% money back if you don't like the stuff. But I wore the long sleeves in back to back days at work, and I really liked them. So I think that people should definitely check this out. If you're in the market for Under Armour stuff, it's definitely worth taking a look. They have all the same colors as Under Armour, and they even, Tony, for you, they even have muscle shirts. They have sleeveless.
I don't wear muscle shirts. Come on.
Yes, you do. And
no, you've never seen me wear a sleeveless shirt. Come on. Let's be real. Eric wears sleeveless shirts.
Okay, Eric does. Yeah. But they have. They do have. Okay, let's just compare and contrast for 1 second. Their Steel Stretch Ice brand, which is the equivalent to the Cold Gear of Under Armour, is $30, where if you get the Under Armour, it's $50. So it is quite a bit of savings, and especially in this rough economy, and they help you measure out the sizes. Tony, you would probably need a medium, which is for 120 to 180 pounds, because I know you like them really tight, really constricting. So that would be the one for you. I, on the other hand, picked up large versions of all of these, and they were tight. They're long, but I don't see why a long shirt would be a big deal. So look for that later this week. And I got the, obviously, T-Nation. I think Chris Sugar did an article where he included some steel stretch products as well. Quick update on my dieting. Unfortunately, Lee Peel is not here. There's a couple things I want to quickly mention. First, it's torture, but it's going well. I'm hungry, and I was talking to Tony in the off-topic discussion, I like to go up to things and smell them.
Oh, I did that all the time when I dieted.
That might be the quote of the week.
And I was watching Ace of Cakes last night for the Ace of Cakes marathon on the Food Channel. That's what I did on my Sunday night, folks. It's really bad.
I think we just found the title of today's Fitcast. I like to go up to things and smell them.
All right. Unless something else comes up, but
yeah.
I think that's it. We're not going to top that.
All right, well,
yeah, I think so.
All right, whatever. It's going well, and I posted an update on the fitcast.com and with pictures and such. And I have gotten tons of emails and people on Twitter asking about what the diet is and what the training program is. And Lee and I are going to do a special segment on that where we'll kind of go in depth on how we set things up, how I set up the training, and how she set up the nutrition aspects of it. And we'll probably just, you know, have fun talking about it probably towards at the end, so we can at least just have some measurements and you know, some actual statistics to discuss. But more on that will be coming. Just wait about 2 or 3 weeks, and we will discuss that in more detail. And now I want Tony and Cass to talk about our question of the week from last week, which was, what's your best gym story, good or bad? You know, this could be something that you saw in the gym or something that you experienced yourself. And the story can be good or bad. I know didn't have too much time to prepare this. And we also have one voice mailbag question that I thought would be or one voicemail that also responded to this question. So, Tony, go first. What's your best story?
Off the top of my head, I would say my best story would be from a couple years ago when I almost killed myself, legitimately almost killed myself, in the gym. It was when I was training at Southside Gym in Stratford, Connecticut, and one of the days, Eric and I usually drove there 2 or 3 times a week, and this is one of the days, I think I was on a Friday, I was doing chain suspended cambered bar, good morning. So for those who don't know what a cambered bar is, I mean, you hold the bar on your side and rather than up over your shoulders. But the bar itself, there's chains hanging from the top of the rack, and the cambered bar is basically, you know, off of the chain. So you start from the bottom position with this one, and then you stand up doing a good morning. With this particular version, I got to like set number, I think it was my second to last set. I think I was doing maybe five or six sets and worked up to like 365 or something like that. And I go, and I think I was doing sets of three. And on my fifth or sixth set, I bring the bar down to the rest on the chains, and the right chain, on the right side basically snapped.
Oh.
And I'm putting like close to 400 pounds back, and the right side snapped, and there was this huge crash, and my hand got jammed in between the plates and the power rack, and then obviously, you know, I fell to the floor with the weight on me.
But the thing was
like normally the chains at the top they were clamps. I just assumed that they were there and they were clamped. I didn't even check them. But they were just wrapped around the rack. They weren't clamped. How that right side stayed like that for five sets, I have no idea. But when it happened, Eric and the gym owner were on the other end of the gym. It's not a very big – it was like one room. It wasn't a very big room, but holy cow, it was loud, and I almost died. It was insane. But
if that wasn't a cambered bar, you'd probably be dead.
Oh yeah, it was. I took a little chunk out of my hand, but of course, you know, I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm bloody cool." Sorry, you know, but yeah, you know, but thinking back, I was like, "Man, that could have been a lot worse than what it was." But yeah, that's the first one off the top of my head as far as a good gym story, like how I almost died.
Well, these are supposed to be like usually about other people, so we can make fun of them.
Well, I had that too. I mean, a couple weeks ago I went.
No, you spoke. Now we're making
fun
of you.
Never mind. Let's do it.
Cast.
Jonathan hears all my gym stories because I see the most silly things in commercial gyms. I don't know if I told this one either, but so there's this trainer at a gym that I won't mention the name of, LA Fitness, that he thinks he's like the trainer of like the star woman trainer. Like, he always has female clients. I've never seen him train a guy. Probably because a guy would punch him in the head. Because I definitely would punch him in the head. So he had these two girls, and he wore them out doing all this ridiculous arm work first. And then he gets them, and it was like ridiculous arm work. I don't even know how to describe what he was doing. And I think, Jonathan, you told me this is a 300 workout. I'll get to it and you can
maybe
confirm this.
Yeah.
But so he gets the one girl to go on the bench and he's spotting her for bench press. But instead of doing like a really smart bench press where you put your feet on the ground and you like brace yourself like so you don't fall off the bench or anything like that, he had them stick their legs straight up in the air. And
yes,
as they're lowering the bar, they're lowering the bar, they're lowering their legs and they're about to fall off the bench. And I was like, give me a freaking break. And the other girl was like doing some like jumping jacks, you know, while the girl was, okay, fine, I can do that. But still, why is, did someone design that? Did someone design to lower your legs when you're bench pressing?
Was she holding the weight at the top?
Okay, so her legs are straight up in the air while the bar was, like, her arms are extended, and as she's lowering the bar for a bench press, she's lowering her legs. And as she pushes the bar back up, she brings her legs back up. So she's working her abs at the same time as her chest.
No, that's not 300 workout. That's just retarded.
No, that's just retarded, yeah.
That's just stupid. I think Matt told me, or someone told me that it's the 300 workout or someone's workout.
Nah.
Design, and all I was doing was like the girl had 5 pounds on either side of the bar, and I'm like, dude, and this was not a small girl. I'm like, I purposely went beside her and I started bench pressing 35 pounds each side, and I was like, you're a moron if you think you're actually doing anything effective for your body. Like, she's hurting her lower back, she's putting, she had a horrible bench form where her elbows were all like flailed up to her, like top of her head, and she was going to blow out a shoulder joint. Nice. I'm just like, do these trainers think they're doing their clients any good?
No, honestly? This is, okay, hold on. This is kind of like my, this is my, if I had need to write a paper on this and I need a thesis statement, mm-hmm. Basically the idea is, especially in these commercial gym settings where, you know, trainers have to, they make their money on selling more packages and have getting attention while they're in the gym. So obviously they have to do, quote, interesting exercises, something that people wouldn't do necessarily. They wouldn't know. They haven't heard of before. That's when they see shit like on, you know, like, for example, I saw some people doing some CrossFit shit. And, mm-hmm. like, honestly, I don't... Okay, some people like CrossFit, some people don't, but the way these people were doing CrossFit is absolutely asinine. It's stupid. It's not safe. I don't care, you know, what side of the CrossFit spectrum. If you're doing it safe, great, but this is what they were doing. They were doing lunges with incredibly horrible form. They were jumping between just four lunges, you know, up, going from switching between each leg, not walking, just in place. And then they would go to a pull-up bar where they had set up a step or like a box so they could do jumping pull-ups. So they would jump and do the pull-ups, pull themselves up to the bar, then they would shoot down where I swear to God, it looked like there's – like have you ever seen a movie where – like a horror movie when someone's like holding on to the railing and they just look over and all that's left are their arms holding on to something and the rest of their body fell to the ground. That's what I thought was going to happen. Like I thought their arms were just going to tear off their body and that I would have to clean that up. And like that, this doesn't make any sense. Like I know you guys, you look cool. You look like you're doing something different, but I will never have anyone do that. Like, if you're going to do CrossFit, please educate the crap out of yourself and make sure what you're doing is right. And if you bring in an out-of-shape friend to do it, please, please have some common sense. Like, this is stupid. That's just not safe. And I apologize. I know people like CrossFit out there. I'm not saying people who do it are stupid. I'm just saying, like, if you set it up in an unsafe circumstance, that's just horrible. And that's why I think it's really bad that this is being really commercial. It's being put out there for people who are out of shape. You shouldn't do CrossFit unless you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. Period. So it kind of defeats the purpose of making it a fat loss workout. But anyways, back to my thesis statement. I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, you have to do something that's interesting, something people haven't seen before, and it has to be flashy so you get other people talking about you as a trainer. You get more publicity. It's very much like marketing. So that's why there is an issue in the commercial gyms, and luckily I haven't had that problem. It's really not a problem at my gym, but I've seen it at other gyms that I've gone to, and I apologize for jumping in there, Cass, and
it's
for screaming.
It's all good because the really sad thing is everyone else doesn't know that this guy's an idiot.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
I wanted to walk up to him and go, "You're a moron," and just smack him across the head and be like, "Stop training women because you're going to hurt them all. You're an idiot." But I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring any more attention to myself as it is. I go to a different gym because I don't want to talk to people while I'm working out. So I go to a gym that no one knows me at. And he was one of the people there. And
I'm going to apologize for the CrossFit outburst. I'm on 1,500 calories today. So I have an excuse. Next up, let's see. Let's go back to the outline. All right, well, that's it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with actually, let's play the story that we had from the person from the voicemail. It's a funny story.
Hey, guys. It's Jolene from Asheville. I just want to say I really enjoy your show. And you'd asked about something that had happened while training or you wanted to hear a story. And I have to tell you, this was a classic. I used to train for JCPenney corporate headquarters in Dallas, and I had a client who was playing in an invitational golf fundraiser with the company, and I trained her at the corporate gym there and told her, you know, it'd be a great idea to cross train. We'll go over to the driving range and hit golf balls. So I went through the whole, I'd played golf for years, so it was easy for me to teach, and she'd never played, and I said, this is great cross train. So the only rule is you can never get behind me with the club because these things are deadly. And so we talked, and we were hitting the club, you know, hitting the balls, and I was telling her what to do. And then I said, you know, let me show you something. I said, you're trying to kill it. So I pull back and swing as if to do a really hard swing and show her that she's just trying to kill it and how to soft follow through. And all of a sudden I hear a scream, and she was standing behind me, which is something I kept telling her not to do. And so after a trip to the ER, 4 stitches in her ear, which split her ear in half, I was just fortunate that we didn't hit her in the head harder or in the temple. It was just devastating. But she continued to want to train, and it took me 2 years to go back to golf after that. But I do want to tell you that liability insurance does cover an emergency trip like that. They do like to laugh a lot about that one. But anyway, I thought that would be one for your mailbag. So have a great one. Thanks.
Wow.
Hey, guys.
Whoops. Almost started playing that again. Yeah, that's deadly.
Accidents will happen.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I've never seen a golf injury in person.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. But even as a caddy, I caddied for 2 years, never saw anything like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You can think about some bleeding ears that have been torn off by golf swings until then.
If you want to boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat, head over to turbulencetraining.com and also check out ttmembers.com, a monthly turbulence training website where you can get a new program every single month.
Okay, we're back, and we have the first. We get a quick voicemail about supplement timing, and we're going to throw this one off to Cass.
I don't know anything about supplement timing. Just kidding. Mm.
Hey,
I'm just kidding.
I'm Carlos. I'm calling about when to take supplements. Like right now, I'm taking creatine, basic isolate protein, and nitric oxide, and I just want to know like when's the best time to take them and what's more effective. And also with me boxing, I don't know like if I should take them at different times or how should I take them differently. But thanks anyway, and keep up the good work. You guys are doing great. Bye.
Okay, we're gonna have to give some tough love out today.
Mm-hmm.
Cass, would you like to begin?
Okay, but I'm not tough.
No, Cass okay. Can't be mean.
I can't be mean.
But just be like a mother. Just be like a mother.
This young gentleman is very curious about supplement timing because he may read some information that tells him that you have to dose things at certain times. But there are certain things that you should dose at certain times and other things where I don't know if there's enough evidence to say you should dose it, like creatine, for example. The purpose of a creatine is to increase your intermuscular intermuscular creatine stores. Sorry. I'm pre-programmed to say triglyceride. Creatine stores.
That's so funny.
That's really disturbing, Cass. That's really disturbing.
I've been writing about triglycerides and fatty acids all day, okay? Well, yesterday, but... Okay, so creatine. You want to increase the amount of creatine in your muscle, okay? And all you need to do is you need to get it in your muscle. And for creatine, there's the loading phase of 5 days at 25 grams a day, or there's, you know, body weight recommendations. But you got to load at least for a week to get it into your body, and that will increase the amount of creatine in your muscle, and having the creatine in your muscle at a higher level will allow you to do more work, harder work, short bursts of activity mostly, than if you didn't have it in there. So you'll be able to work harder a little bit longer. But it's not like if you take it right before your workout, it's going to work for that workout. It has to get into your muscle first. So it's sort of like pick your time when you want to take your creatine. Like if you want to take it in the morning with your breakfast, or if you want to put it in a shake, it doesn't really matter. What matters with creatine is that it's in your body, period. Okay. And then protein, yes, there is timing issues with whey protein, showing that taking it before and after exercise sessions will increase the amount of protein that is synthesized. Now, that is before and after. Now, before can be as much as 2 hours before, and after can be as much as 2 hours after, but the best time is there's a 30-minute timing that it shows that when the protein is in your bloodstream, it stimulates protein synthesis. So anyway, after your workout, you should try to get a shake in right away. Some people even drink their protein throughout their workout. I remember when I was training with Eric in strength and conditioning at UConn, and he would drink a dextrose and a whey protein throughout his workout, and he got really big, so... trying to get big. You could even drink it during. But around your workout is very beneficial for protein, and then nitric oxide.
So what you gonna do?
What the heck was that?
Pop-ups on the internet.
Oh my.
Oh, this is going to be one of those weeks of the Fitcast.
Okay. Anyway, so... And then nitric oxide, you could take it before your workout because they say it increases the pump, say 30 minutes before your vascularization. So I think with nitric oxide, I'm not 100% with NO, but it's not NO, it's arginine, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's arginine.
Yeah, it's arginine. So it's an amino acid that increases nitric oxide production, which causes vasodilation. But anyway... I think it's like a pre-workout kind of thing to increase circulation during your workout, but I'm not
100%. You gotta like mega-dose that stuff to even have an effect, though, don't you? I thought it was really poorly taken PO to have any effect.
It's really poorly taken after your workout, you mean?
No. To take by mouth. I said PO, sorry. By mouth.
Per aura, right?
Oh, yeah,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
Terminology, yeah.
Nerd
yeah,
alert.
I've been in the hospital all day, sorry.
I just started clinical this week. Yeah. Anyway, it can have some effect orally, but it's not this huge, great effect that they state in the magazines or they show these pictures of these really vascular men. Like, NO is really controversial. Some people say in research findings it has an effect, and other people say it doesn't, and more people say it's crap than say it's good. But I mean, if you want to take it, you know, might as well take it a little bit before your workout and have it in your system. But what were you thinking, Jonathan, in general? Yeah. Like, do you have a timing thing?
No, not a timing thing, just that the amount of dosage that you need to take orally, because it's really not the stuff that I've seen about it. I mean, remember when it first came out, I kind of looked at a few things, and they said basically that it can have an effect, but any study that I had seen that was when they took it orally just basically had no effect, because it's just not it's not absorbed well enough when you do, you know, take these little pills or whatever. Like the effects that they were seeing were like mega doses of the stuff.
You know who's written mostly a lot about this and knows the most about is Dave Barr, from what I know.
I
would encourage
that.
Looking up Dave Barr's writing for all of it.
I think he actually wrote an article on T-Nation about it like 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I think he's written more about it since.
Okay. Well, hopefully we got some answers for you. All right, let's take one more quick break, and then we'll be right back with the mailbag. We got quite an epic mailbag. We'll be right back. If you're looking for the highest quality, best tasting protein powder out there, head to blackstarlabs.com, where you can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 in the coupon section at checkout. We're back with the mailbag, and the first question goes out to Tony for Mark. Mark asks, "Gang, I want to thank you for what you do. I have gotten some great information from you guys and girls. My question is about lifting shoes. I have always just lifted in my running shoes. I have been reading that this could be bad for me down the road. What are your thoughts on buying, quote, lifting shoes? Are they necessary? Will a pair of Converse All-Stars work, or should I go with Adistar or Risto? I hope I'm saying those properly. The primary lifts that I would use them for would be deadlifts, squats, and some Olympic lifts. Mark. And don't forget those Nike Freeze, Mark. Still selling.
Yes. I'm in the impression that, are they necessary? I wouldn't go as far as to say that it's necessary and you're causing a lot of, you know, undue damage by wearing running shoes while you train. At Cresty Performance, we have everyone do their warm-ups barefoot. What we have found is just getting people out of their shoes in general helps to help them relearn how to use all those intrinsic muscles at the bottom of the feet, as well as improve ankle mobility in a more of a natural way.
Well, do you think it helps their balance too?
That's going to depend. I mean, that's just going to depend on their foot mechanics and all that stuff. Was that what he was talking about? Was more of a balance?
No, I found that with my client set.
It's some people are going to be atrocious out of their shoes. So, you know, if anything, it's kind of going to be a little bit of a compromise at times, but I've found that I'd like to get them out of their shoes regardless and just tell them that, you know, it's going to be good for you. And, they're going to do their entire warm up barefoot. There's certain variations of squats that are always barefoot. Every box squat variation is barefoot and every deadlift variation is barefoot. We allow them to wear shoes when they do front squats. So when he's talking about Olympic lifts, certainly buying some Olympic shoes might be advantageous. But just getting a pair of Chuck Taylors or Nike Freeze would be fine. But as far as deadlifting, go barefoot. You know, you're gonna decrease the range of motion, and you're also going to you're going to force yourself to activate your glutes and hamstrings a little bit more efficiently by getting yourself out of the shoes. You wear the shoes with the heel lifts, you're going to force yourself up on the balls of your feet, and you're going to have a tendency to lean forward a little bit. So, just a general rule of thumb, you know, get some Nike Freeze or Chuck Taylors when you're at the gym anyways. But when you're doing your certain squat variations and or your deadlifts, just go barefoot. You know, that's assuming that they allow you, that you don't get yelled at by one of the trainers or something. But, that would be my recommendation.
Very good. The next question is for Cassandra from, I think this is from Katie from Buffalo again. I think she's written it a couple times now. I know John's a fan because she's from the New York area.
Buffalo isn't really.
Well, Buffalo would be area. More where I'm from. My next
yeah, Kevin. Buffalo is more from like the Boston area by the time you get up there.
They got a new football player there.
Yes, they do.
Mr. Owens, I heard.
Yes, they do.
Cass, I have a bit of a predicament and would like some advice. I'm a 27-year-old female and have been an avid gym goer for several years and have followed New Rules of Lifting for Women for several months. I believe women should lift heavy and think in that pink dumbbells belong in nursing homes. In September of 2008, I was in a car accident and a few weeks later cleared for exercise by my doctors. I bought the Afterburn program from Alan Cosgrove and started the program and was enjoying it. As time progressed, I had to some follow-up doctor appointments, and they discovered that I had a herniated cervical disc. The neck doctor says it is okay to continue light exercise but nothing real heavy for a while and is sending me to physical therapy. My question to you is, what can I continue to do that will maintain the muscle mass I've built up over the last several years? And would it help it to continue with the aerobic intervals for the fat loss if I can't do much heavy lifting with the anaerobic program for a few months? After all, my overall goal is fat loss, so I understand nutrition plays a huge role, but I also need to train. Also, if I end up having to just take it easy for a month or two, am I going to lose most of my muscle and end up having to start from scratch? This has been bothering me since training 3 to 4 times a week has been my lifestyle for a few years. Thanks for any advice you guys can give. Sorry for such a long email. That's all right, Katie. Don't worry about it.
Well, this is actually a Jonathan Fast question, too.
Well, you guys could tag team it. You guys can tag team it. And she did give a shout out to New Rules Lifting for Women.
Yes. Well, I'll try because Jonathan is going to say everything anyway, but I'll just try. All I would just say is I'm actually working with a girl right now that found out she has a herniated cervical disc. Very interesting. And she's continuing to push herself, but she's just getting worse and worse and worse. And she was on prednisone and she started gaining body fat, and they may do local injections of cortisone. I'm not sure. But she's in so much pain and she won't take a break. And really what she described to me, what the orthopedic surgeon told her, was that she needs to take a break to decrease the inflammation in the area so that it's not always painful. So she needs to be more careful with what she's doing. And you're not going to necessarily gain fat, but you're going to start gaining fat and lose muscle if you're on prednisone for the rest of your life because you won't take a break. But that's just my thoughts. But I don't really know because Jonathan is the man who's going to answer this anyway. Jonathan, go.
It really is a hard question to answer because we don't know exactly what's going on there. If we assume it's the common posterior disc bulge, then really the physical therapist should be the one to answer this for you because they're going to know exactly what's happening, what direction the bulge is, what is it affecting, what is it not affecting, and most importantly, what's your position, what's happening, what are you doing that has either caused this bulge or is making it worse or maintaining it. Normally when you deal with a disc bulge in the neck and the cervical spine, you're dealing with neck positioning and head positioning. So you may have a forward head posture that's making this work. So you need to start training with some of the muscles, the deep neck flexors and things like that, that help to get you in a better position. And then that's also like thoracic mobility. As far as maintaining muscle mass, you kind of take it on levels. So the first thing that you do, assuming everything is okay otherwise, static positioning exercises are usually safe. So we're talking about something like, wall squats or something along those lines where you're not actually moving, you're just maintaining a position against gravity or against the weight. Normally those are the first things that you do and those are the safest things. After that, you start getting involved in like dynamic movement. So actually, what you would consider to be traditional exercise. Chances are you'll probably be okay to at least do those. You'll probably be okay to, do some, light type of activity. I think they're probably more worried about your position. So if it gets too heavy, the weights, you may start to break position. And then in that case, you may start to aggravate that disc bulge. And I assume the nerve impingement that's going along with it. I would suggest in general, if you're doing back squats, switch it to front squats. You'll have less of a likelihood of bending forwards. You've got to also be careful with deadlifts. It doesn't mean that you can't do them, but your neck position has to be safe. Your head position has to be safe. All those things, those are paramount. So what I would really ultimately, after saying all that, I would say ask the therapist. They know what your presentation is like, and they can give you the best advice.
We'll head into the next question. Comes from Jack. There are no decent gyms within 50 miles of my house, so I have to be my own trainer. I've read a lot about technique, but could you run down some checkpoints from a lifter's perspective for common lifts such as squats, deadlifts, good mornings, and presses? Jack, I'm just going to say check out the FitCast video database because I think it's really hard to just talk about some cues unless you can get some visual idea of what's going on. And I hope that we did a pretty good job with typing in the cues that you should look for in many of those main lifts. And we did go over squats, deadlifts. We did not do good mornings, but we did do many presses. We didn't do push presses, though. So I would look into that because that's probably going to be your best bet. Next questions for John from Rob. Hi, Kevin. I enjoy listening to the podcast and I've heard lots of great information that I hope will help me reach my fitness goals. My question deals with a lower back strain. I have been following the Turbulence Training Program for 2 weeks now. Prior to the Turbulence Training Program, I was doing the body shaping from Precision Nutrition. Last week, I strained my lower back after doing a set of Bulgarian split squats with dumbbells. I think I was using too heavy a weight and had bad form. Tony, we didn't film Bulgarian split squats, did we? I don't think
I don't
so.
Remember doing those.
I think we should do that.
No, I don't either. Yeah.
I'll come up on Thursday.
All right.
And he also continues saying, I've taken this week off from any lifting and my back is feeling better. What should I do in regards to when I feel I'm ready to start lifting again? I do warm up before each set with 30 to 50% of the weight I plan to lift. Is there any special warm-up exercises or stretching that should be done prior to lifting? I appreciate any advice you can give me. Thanks, Rob.
Again, a tough one. I think that in this situation, if your back is feeling better, the general prescription of, you know, make sure that you're using foam rolling, make sure that if there's any stiffness left over, that you're getting rid of that, making sure that you've got good abdominal bracing throughout your lifting, making sure that you've got good hip mobility and activation throughout your lifting. So, I mean, that kind of goes with any lower body exercise and most of the upper body exercises too, hip activation and abs. The one thing that I will say, though, something to consider, depending on which side of the back you got a strain. I mean, if we just assume that, all right, you used too much weight, maybe you shifted a little bit and your back kind of squeezed up, that can happen with bad form. The other thing that you might consider, though, is that you may have seen an underlying problem there, and it revealed itself through a little bit too much weight. If your back was spasmed out for, you know, a week, couple days, whatever, you may have also assumed a postural abnormality because of that. We will take a position to avoid pain, so no matter what's going on, you know, you'll accommodate your position so that you don't cause yourself more pain. Most of the time, we don't even realize that. If you're going back to lifting after an injury, especially a soft tissue injury, you may find that you may be rotated a little bit, you may be side bent a little bit, you may be in a slightly greater hip extension on one side versus the other, especially in back injuries. So you have to be really careful about your own posture and your own positioning, and to make sure that you're not caught in a new position, which will then show itself later on throughout your workouts. You know, hopefully it won't, but it may, and you may re-injure those areas again, like your low back, or it may be something different. Like this time, it might be your hamstrings. That may be something you're able to do by yourself, or you may have to have someone qualified to look at you. Chances are, to be honest with you, most gym trainers would not be qualified to do that, and you would have to go to someone like a chiropractor or a physical therapist to really look at you, evaluate your movement and your posture and your positioning. But that's something, just in general, whenever you get an injury, no matter what it is, check yourself out afterwards. You may find that you're actually shifted a little bit or just not on the straight and narrow.
That's for damn sure.
I'll also say on with that, a lot of people, especially with the dumbbell stuff, whenever they say, oh, I heard it doing, you know, a set of bug iron split squats, or more often than not, it happens when they're either picking up or putting down the dumbbells themselves, not necessarily when they're doing the actual exercise. So that's, you know what I mean? So
form goes right out the window.
Yeah. So, I mean, how you're picking up the dumbbells, like, says a lot and how, you know, how bad your back is going to feel. So, I mean, being cognizant of that, while it sounds very trivial, it does sound very trivial, it is an important component to be aware of. Just
it's huge.
How you're picking them up and how you're putting them down. So I always tell people to, you know, try to put the dumbbells on the top rack or even just have someone hand them to you, you know, especially if you are coming off a back injury. And I know Boyle has mentioned this before, too, in an article he wrote. People coming back from lower back injuries, he typically just sticks with, like, he won't have them do dumbbell presses. He'll just stick to barbell presses because that way they're not like positioning the body in a way that's just going to put more undue stress on the lower back for that time. So, you know, just being cognizant of, you know, how you're picking up and putting them down is going to play a factor too. But like John said, I guarantee it was more of something that this happened to be the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's definitely more of a postural issue that, you know, just kind of showed itself, you know, after that one particular set. So.
Yeah, and you know, and that's also a good point too, because I mean, I get ready for a client or, you know, whoever, they do these, you know, they'll do six reps perfectly of a deadlift and I say, oh, great job. And then they put the bar down by just rounding their back.
And, oh yeah.
And
yeah.
It all goes to the wind. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're lifting. If you're not using the things that you learn in the gym on either outside of the gym or even inside the gym when you're just picking up a dumbbell or whatever, you're missing the point. You've got to use form every single time. If you don't walk up the stairs like you're doing a step up, you're losing something, you know. And if you don't pick up your bag of groceries like you're doing a deadlift, you're missing something. All of this stuff, it has to carry through. So that was an excellent point.
And also to piggyback towards the tail end of that question, because I know we asked if there are any special warm-up exercises or stretching that he could do. You know, I think both John and I will agree that, you know, typically stretching the lower back isn't going to be a good idea. And I mean, I get this almost on a weekly basis. Someone will approach me and be like, oh, my lower back feels tight. What can I do to stretch it? And, mm-hmm. you know, the reason it feels tight is because you're using it too much. So, mm-hmm. you know, really, really emphasizing on it is, you know, we hit on this point almost every week, but really hammering away on the hip mobility and the thoracic spine mobility. And, you know, that's going to help alleviate a lot of the undue stress on the lower back. So as you're warming up, I mean, yeah, do your magnificent mobility drills, do your inside-out drills, what have you, glute activation. I mean, it has to be done. It still surprises me that people just don't do it. We're talking 10 minutes of just doing a proper warm-up, you know, just turning stuff on. And that 10 minutes will go a long ways as far as keeping people healthy long-term. You know, so it still amazes me that people don't, quote unquote, warm up. You know, you can't, you know, it's like even some of our baseball guys, our pitchers, you know, we always tell them, like, you need to warm up the throw, not throw to warm up. You know, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it goes across the board with everyone. You know, it's just take those 5 to 10 minutes, do a proper warm up. I mean, some people are going to take longer than others because they need it. You know, this guy is probably going to need to be a little bit more diligent with stuff. But, I mean, just do it.
Sure, that'll really work.
Thank you, Hogan.
Okay, the next question. Again, we're going to probably throw this one to John. Hi, guys. As always, thanks for the show. It always gives me heaps of info and heaps of laughs on the train. I'm having problems at the moment trying to work my back. Part of my workout is push presses or military presses supersetted against lat pulldowns. I vary the lat pulldowns with wide pronated and closed supinated grips, but I tend to have difficulty really pushing things on the lat pulldowns because of my forearms. The pain that I get is really localized burn towards the elbow, and I'm wondering if it's perhaps some sort of connective tissue pain. I'm doing 80 kilogram lat pulldowns for 5 sets of 5, but I'm absolutely limited by my forearms. I really don't want to have to resort to straps. While I have been progressing, I feel like at every step it's my forearms that are limiting me. What would you recommend as some assisted work for this sort of issue? Thanks for the help that you might give. And that's from Aaron.
It's by the elbows could mean triceps involvement, meaning that he's using a little too much triceps work from the military press, and then it stiffens up, and when he tries to flex the elbow, he's getting like that kind of feeling of stiffness on the triceps, and he's interpreting that as pain. It could also mean the inside of the elbow, so he's got the majority of the flexor mass of the forearms, and he may be getting a little bit of almost like a medial epicondylitis occurring because maybe it's just an overuse injury. It's gonna be a lot depending on which problem is occurring. Most likely it's either a strain because there's a dysfunction, so he's overusing one of those areas to compensate for weakness in another, or it could just be a soft tissue issue where he just needs to work it maybe with, you can do it with a golf ball, you can do it with your own hands, just kind of like a self-massage thing. And he may ultimately just need to take either drop the weight a little bit for some time or just take some time off and let things heal. Again, it's one of those questions where it's like, all right, I have pain in the elbow, what's wrong? Well, it could be a lot of things, unfortunately, but the general rule of thumb is soft tissue work first. Stretch something after that soft tissue work. See if this helps. And if it doesn't, then you really do need to have someone look at it, because then we're looking at more dysfunctional imbalances. We may be looking at actually some tissue damage that needs more specific approaches. But when in doubt, you know, try the soft tissue approach first. That's what I would the advice I would give, not really knowing exactly what else is going on there.
And going with the triceps thing, I know a lot with our baseball guys as far as elbow pain. We Eric and I both talk a lot about triangular space. Stretching the posterior capsule and stretching mm-hmm. the triceps. Because the reason why I say that is Jonathan mentioned the triceps at the beginning of his answer. So doing a wall tricep stretch could very well help alleviate some of that elbow pain. But more often than not, it's going to be a soft tissue issue. Whether it's using your own fingers, just getting some baby oil, putting it in the flexors, and just kind of digging your thumb in there. But certainly, if you can get to a manual therapist who actually knows what he or she is right. doing, that would be your best option. I'm not usually a big fan of just telling people, just put your thumb in there and dig around.
Yeah, right.
Certainly it's more often than a soft tissue issue, but definitely follow all that soft tissue work with proper stretching. Doing the hip, the flexor and extensor stretches, as well as the wall tricep stretch. And I guarantee you probably get some pretty good relief off the elbow.
I was going to say something crap. Totally forgot.
You mean Watchmen in 2.5 hours?
Don't think.
My brain is just on 50% right now.
Kevin, just don't think. It's okay. You're dying.
Can I just have Hulk Hogan speak for me the rest of the show? Would that yes. be
yeah,
that?
If he wants to read the next question, sure.
So what you gonna do when Hulk Hogan runs wild on you?
Huh. Oh my god, that is so funny.
Yeah. All right, well, let's just go to the next question. Crap, this is really bugging me. I was about to say something, and then Tony butted in. If you want to do some soft tissue work, also the stick might be worth picking up. Pick up a stick. I found it useful. Oh, anyways, let's see, Cass, we're going to throw the next one your way.
Okay.
It's a long one. Kevin, great show. Love the wealth of information and entertainment you all provide. I'm going to be having major surgery in the next month or so, donating part of my liver to a family member. I've been pretty successful at losing fat beforehand, above and beyond what the doctor recommended. Thanks for all the tips. My question deals with a recovery period. I'm going to be in the hospital for a week or so and then at home for several weeks. Recovery orders are to avoid lifting anything over 20 pounds and avoid stressing the abdominal region for about 2 months. I'll also likely be eating more so as not to limit the regrowth of my liver. Basically, what I am wondering if any of you have any creative ideas on how to minimize loss of strength and fat gain during the period where I have severely restricted exercise choices and a need to eat. I realize that some backsliding is inevitable and well worth it given the cause, but I'd absolutely like to keep that to a minimum and get back into shape as soon as recovery is possible. Sorry if this is as long and rambling, and thanks for the advice, Sean. And Sean, that's a very cool thing that you're doing, and hopefully we can mm-hmm. help you out.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, are you asking me this question because I've had major abdominal surgery twice in the last, 3 years?
It seemed to make sense, yeah.
Cass knows what to do.
We could talk about shit after this too, Cass, if you want on the show.
There you have it.
Yeah, Kevin and I had poopy talk one day, so now he thinks that talking about poo is cool. And it is kind
of
cool.
One of my clients wanted to talk about poop too.
Really? Poop is great.
And it was a woman. She was nervous though. Because girls don't poop.
It was the first time she talked about
poop. Yeah,
true. It was her first time.
Yeah, pretty much.
First time? Okay. okay, well, I'm actually flipping open my Manual of Clinical Dietetics because I was just going to check to see, and I really should have looked at this before, but I was multitasking.
You can talk to Hulk Hogan while you're looking it up.
No, see, the reason what I was thinking, this is just end-stage renal disease and nephrotic syndrome. Okay, what I was thinking is removal of the liver, if that's going to have any effect on digestion, Like, it's not like the liver is diseased, and it probably doesn't, because if they're saying you could donate part of your liver, but, you know, it's, you may have some, like, digestive, you know, it might be like a learning curve for your liver enzymes right away. Like, your liver is going to be, am I still on?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, sorry. I got really quiet. I was like, am I here? It might. Basically, you're having surgery, major surgery. You're removing part of your body, and they're cutting into your abdomen. I had my colon taken out. I had a foot of my colon taken out. I was in the hospital for a week, the same thing. And I tried to lift a week after surgery. I couldn't even bench press the bar off my chest. I wanted to cry in the gym. I really did. I couldn't do anything. I tried to box jump. No, what's the word for that? Yeah, I don't know. High box jump, like high jumps onto the box. And I freaking couldn't even do it. And I hit my, I tripped on my way up and I smashed my leg, and I still have a dent in my leg from smashing myself. Don't push yourself too hard. That's all I'm going to say. It's not worth it. It took me probably 6 months to really recover from my surgery. They're saying 2 months. I would really say 2 months. You can work out to the extent that you can handle, but don't expect yourself to go in and do the exact same things you did before your surgery. Jonathan even knows, even just having my appendix out, right, Jonathan Fass, that Cass likes to go in the gym right after she gets surgery, and right she ends after. Up hurting herself. I couldn't do a plank right after my appendectomy, not even just a regular plank on my forearms. It took me a week to be able to do that. And when I did, I was all of a sudden like a week and a half later, I'm like, oh, I should do abs for like 20 minutes straight because I'm an idiot. And I end up getting some adhesion on my abdominal wall on the right side, which is kind of still there. I'm checking it out. Yeah, it's still there a little. Don't push yourself too hard. Really, think of this as your unscheduled time off, really is where I'd look at it. And you're going to have a little bit of a beginner's advantage after you come back, because you're going to be a little bit, you'll have some time off, but your muscle has a lot of memory and you'll be able to get back in the game. But, you know, work out to the extent you can, but don't try to do really, really heavy lifts. Really don't try to lift heavy. I tried to deadlift after my appendectomy. That was an idiotic thing to do. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I was even in the gym today. I had to teach boot camp. Mind you, I've been sick this week. And then, you know, surgery was last month. I only had like 30 minutes of good exercise in me. And after that, I was like, I'm done. I am really done working out, where I would normally go for like an hour and a half or an hour, you know. Well, an hour is reasonable, but, you know, sometimes I would try to push myself for an hour and a half. All I'm just saying is, you know, you're going to want to limit what you do in your abdominal region. Don't try to work your abs, because you're going to have a big incision across your abdominal muscles. Right, Jonathan?
It should be.
They're what?
It should be.
There's a big incision. Like, because they're going to have to take out his liver, so they're going to have to open him up. It's not like they're doing this laparoscopically where they're just sticking in.
Right, they're kind of pulling through.
They have to pull it out. So you're going to have a big scar, and it's going to look really cool when it's all done. But it's going to be painful, and you're really going to be weak, and you're probably going to sleep a lot. And it's just what it is. You're taking out part of your body. When I took out my colon, had my colon taken out, I thought I was Superwoman a week after the gym, and I realized I was absolutely not Superwoman. And then finally I just succumbed to recovery, and I slept a lot, and it was probably the best thing I could do for myself. But again, it still took me time to recover, and that's all you're just gonna have to say. Like, and you said something about eating to regrow your liver. I'm not sure how much you can.
I guess
regrow.
They just mean like regeneration or something, or probably healing more.
Just to increase the speed of recovery.
Well, I mean, maybe a little extra glutamine added to your diet might be beneficial. But again, just remember, you're losing a part of your body that's important for digestion. So you may not, you may actually have some decrease in appetite. And the other thing is, when I had my colon taken out, and this may happen with you and your liver, I lost 15 pounds in the hospital. like in 5 days. In 5 days, I just went, meow. Can I do that again? Meow. I'm a moron. So you'll probably lose weight. You'll probably lose muscle. And you just look at this as a way to get back up to where you were. But you will get back up to where you are. Just give yourself a little bit of time. Like you said, backsliding will be inevitable. And you probably won't gain a lot of fat because your body is going to be in this really catabolic state. So you're going to be breaking down muscle and fat at the same time. So just don't worry about it too much. You'll be okay. You guys can chime in, but that's just, I guess, like a personal learning experience. I thought I had to work out and like eat really well, but my body was going through so much catabolism and rebuilding. It, you know, I just ate well, and that was just the most important thing to do.
John, don't you dare. All right.
Not even saying a word.
No, say something, Jonathan, because you're the one that said, Cass, you're an idiot for working out.
Cass,
right
you're
away.
An idiot. Stop working out. Yeah, just respect the healing. Respect the healing process.
And
I mean, that's all it is.
Speaking of surgery, how about A-Rod, John? How's he doing?
He's an idiot. That's what how he's doing.
Huh.
What happened? A-Rod had surgery?
And now he's got some hip.
It's called I juiced, and they're trying to get me out of the spotlight surgery.
Basically.
Okay, we'll go back to the Tony. Do you have anything to say?
No, I don't have anything to add on top of that. I mean,
Tony's just watching the trailer for Watchmen right now.
No, I mean, I was actually.
Oh my god.
No, I was listening to Cass. It makes sense. I mean, I can respect someone, you know, like, you know, wanting to train, and I mean, people like us, like, that's what we do. Like, we, you know, that's our lifestyle. I mean, me not going to the gym for a week would kill me, you know, let alone 2 months.
Brutal.
So, but at the
but
same
it's not
time,
like you're not going to the gym for 2 months. You just have to cut it back a little.
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, I don't like if I'm having surgery, I don't expect to be able to do a 500-pound deadlift the following week. You know, like but believe me, I can respect someone wanting to maintain what they have, or you know, wanting to go to the gym. But my God, you're having surgeries. Like your first priority is, hey, let's get healthy. You know, don't worry about the gym's not going anywhere. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. Like they'll be, and like Cass said, she made a great point. Like when you come back, I guarantee you're going to have newbie gains all over again. Like you're going to come back and in a matter of less than a month, you're going to be right back to where you were to begin with, if not better. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You know, just take things in stride and, you know, just get, it's great what you're doing. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. But you know, just realize what's important, and what's important is just you, you know, recovering and getting better. So,
well, Sean, let us know how it goes, and please keep us updated. Maybe you can send us an email from the hospital, just letting us know everything went well, and best of luck.
Wait! I have some information here.
Drop it.
Well, I'm just reading in my clinical dietetic manual. Not like I'm saying these people always have the right answers, but. They are definitely saying that small frequent feedings are going to be very beneficial because, especially after surgery, liver surgery, like I said, digestion is going to be a little compromised, but then you're going to need extra calories, but you want to eat small amounts just because big boluses of food may be really stressful for the liver. And you may have problems metabolizing certain drugs and supplements. So I'd be very careful with maybe doing too many supplements. That's why I just said a little bit of glutamine, like 5 grams of glutamine a day would probably be okay. It's more going to be, you know, filtered by the kidney than the liver, but still. And then something about calcium. Oh. If you're on any, I don't know, it just depends on what medications they put you on after the surgery. They may or may not make you feel more hungry or not. Okay. Anyway, that's all. Sorry. Just reading my book. Mm-hmm. I have this big, huge clinical dietetic manual. It has, 800 pages in it in this big binder. They actually have it online now, but I have the older version. It's in a book. I'm done. Good luck.
Okay, the last I'll quickly hit this question from Tracy. Hey guys and gals, I was curious to know where I can download a good fitness assessment for my new clients before I begin working them out. I heard on your show that any good trainer should have a good assessment, and after the show I thought to myself, wow, do I even have an assessment? Yeah, I do have one, but I know I can get a better one from you guys. Why reinvent the wheel when it's already there? Thanks, and you guys rock. Tracy, John, I know you have some recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, two things kind of come to mind. First, the functional movement screen by Greg Cook. That's used by a lot of people, and it can point out a lot of really good things. Come to think of it, I guess I wasn't thinking of this, but I think the NASM has some stuff on evaluation too in their training manual, and you might look into that. The third one, which I would very much recommend, is the 2008 Indianapolis Performance Enhancement Seminar DVDs from Bill Hartman and Mike Robertson. Bill talked about assessments in that, and he made some outstanding points. In general, no matter what you do with assessments, I mean, I'm sure we could each go through what we do with assessments and whatever, but the bottom line is you need to assess based on the function of the individual. If you want them to squat, look at how they squat. If you want them to run, look at how they run. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that, certainly for an apparently healthy individual. So I would look into those items and see cost, decide what if you could get all three of them. I think you'd be in a good spot. But then ultimately speaking, knowledge is your best assessment. I mean, if the more that you know about the human body, and the more that you can be aware of how it's supposed to work and what it looks like when it's not working, that's your best assessment tool.
All right, well, that's gonna wrap it up for us here. For everyone, make sure to check out John's site at acceleratedstrength.com. Who the hell knows if he's going to blog, but you might as well check it out anyways. JonathanFast.blogspot.com.
Forget you.
Please watch The Language. Tony Gentilcore at the Boston Herald. Actually, Tony, I didn't even say where your websites were. I apologize.
That's all right.
The Boston Herald Step Up blog, where you will probably see a picture of a hot chick on there this week.
Kim Kardashian. I will.
Don't. No, really, don't, though, because she's not good looking.
She's Oh, Kevin.
Now it's on.
It's on. It is.
Really?
You think you were mad at me for posting those videos of your
yep.
failed.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning, dude.
Yep. Fail of the week, Kevin. Saying Kim Kardashian is not.
Oh, John.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you,
Wait, he's thinking. He doesn't have enough calories to think.
Shit, I know. I'm trying to think of something.
I can have fails.
You forgot this. So who gets it this week, John?
That's an easy one. Sean, for giving part of his liver to a family member. That's quite a mitzvah. Good job, Sean.
Very good. And, just some kind words from Hulk Hogan.
How you doing, my friend?
That's what he would say if he saw you, Sean. Boston Herald Step Up blog, bostonherald.com/blog/entertainment/step_up.
I really wish they would change that website, that address. Holy moly, that's long.
Holy moly.
And you can also check out GentleCoreTraining.com and sure, go to CrestyPerformance.com too.
I'm trying to cut down on my swearing, John. That's what I'm saying.
I appreciated that. That was nifty.
Oh, Cass, I got to give you an update on my probiotics too.
Oh, okay. Is this off the air? Are you done? Are we done?
No, we're not done.
Okay.
And also Cassandra Forsyth at CassandraForsyth.com. Please don't forget to check out the show on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can please submit a review if you haven't already, and if you have, just do it again. Whatever. We still have one star review up on our front page from some dude. So I'd like to see if we can get that off. We only have like two bad reviews out of all of them, so that'd be awesome if we get some more positive reviews. And again, check out thefitcast.com because I will be blogging on there about the diet on Monday with new pictures and also the review of the steel stretch products. And that's it. We're going to go see Watchmen.
Watchmen, baby, Watchmen.
Oh my. All of you guys are watching it today?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm seeing it at 7:30.
And
this is akin to like when The Notebook came out for you, Cass. You know how all the women were. But...
I have never seen The Notebook.
This is our Notebook.
I can't believe you said that. Can't believe you said that.
Or the Sex and the City movie.
Oh, you.
Day one.
They showed a penis in the movie.
Yeah, they do.
Hey.
Knights and Rodane, whatever that movie came out.
And the guy with the glasses and the redhead girl, oh my god. That was awesome.
Guy with the glasses and the redhead girl?
No, the guy with the glasses, they showed him having sex with the redhead girl. He had like an awesome body.
In what movie?
Sex in the City.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was washing my hair that day. I didn't get a chance to see that. Sorry.
Okay, anyway. All right, guys.
So
enjoy your movie.
We will, in the words of Hulk Hogan.
No, I think I'm bigger than you.
We'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Stay tuned for the off-topic and the Craig Ballantyne interview. Don't forget that.
Michael Boyle, strengthcoach.com, the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet. Are you looking for cutting-edge information updated almost every day? Do you like info-packed forums with almost real-time answers from industry experts? Then log on to www.strengthcoach.com. For only $1 for 14 days, you can test drive the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet, strengthcoach.com. Have you logged on today?
Was Craig Ballantyne of TurbulenceTraining.com, TTMembers.com, and also the brand new, if you haven't seen it already, TurbulenceTrainingForAbs.com. Craig, how's it going?
Really good, Kevin. Really good, man.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked since, I think, around the a little bit before the holidays, and I think it's good to get back to talking about training, especially fat loss with you, because... You know, we're less than 3 months away from Memorial Day. The annual finish line for those looking to reach their body fat goals is fast approaching. So, you know, like, what's going to be realistic in terms of goals for men and women who are looking to lose 15 or 20 pounds?
Well, I think that's very realistic. When we take a look at our transformation contest winners, you know, the people that do the best, we run 12-week transformation contests, and generally our women top out at about 16 pounds. We've had one woman do 21 pounds in 12 weeks, so she's our absolute best success story. Mm-hmm. And so that's you know, definitely reasonable for someone who wants to do that, you know, for a woman to do that. And you know, here's a bit of a mindset thing. I call the transformation contest the 0.3% solution. Because what it is, if you take 12 weeks and divide that into, you know, 75 years, that's 3,900 weeks. That comes out to 0.03% of your entire life. And if you've ever had a cast on your arm, you know, you've broken your leg, broken your arm. I fell off my bike. I broke my leg in Connecticut one time in a soccer tournament. And I've had the cast on for like 8 weeks. And, you know, I think back, it's just a blink of my eye in my entire lifetime. And so you just have to get that entire mindset that it's going to be over really fast. You're going to be able to look back on it and say, wow, that went by so fast. And what you're going to do is build up so many lifelong habits. But, you know, the focus is just to understand that it's only a really small portion of your lifetime. I mean, surely you can dedicate less than 0.5% of your life to transforming your body. So 16 pounds for women. Men, on the other hand, can probably double that at the top end. We've had three guys in the transformation contest that we run at TurbulenceTraining.com do over 33 pounds of fat loss in 12 weeks. And so that's, you know, not average, but certainly if a guy has a lot more to lose, which most guys do than most women, that's, you know, one of the main factors. And then they also have a few other things going for them. So if you're aiming to lose 15 to 20 pounds, and that's what you need to lose, you know what? You got a really good chance to do that if you get started right now.
Well, we talked in the past about things like social support and really just getting a head start, like a jump start. Like a lot of people, obviously, they want to lose the weight, but sometimes it just takes something, you know, like the transformation contest that you have to just, I think they just need that extra kick in the butt. So, like, what, you know, generally when people are preparing for something like your transformation contest, like, do they usually have any general concerns, or are they usually just right on board and ready to go?
I think you made a really good point there that without the contest, a lot of these people would not have gotten started. It's really kind of interesting on the mindset and psychological aspect of it. I mean, it's just a contest, and some people say that, you know, they're not even in it to win the contest. They just want to be in the contest. So it's a real mindset thing, and that's why it's important, you know, for trainers to give their people some type of deadline and some type of, you know, like you said, kick in the butt. So that's why this, you know, Memorial Day, thinking along those lines, at least you have some type of deadline to take action there. But most people who come to the contest at this point, they are ready to go and get in it. And it is a huge, huge component of motivation to have something like this. I mean, you can just make something up, anything, and it finally gives people a reason why to act. I mean, it's not a rational response. I mean, if somebody wants to lose 20 pounds, they shouldn't require a contest to do it. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're finding out. I mean, without this contest, most people would not take action. And, you know, when I started this first contest, which I started in 2007 November, that's when we allowed people to start entering. I had no idea how it was going to turn out. And it's since turned out to be something more successful beyond what I ever imagined. It's you know, I'm even doing consulting now, you know, just on a business level. I'm doing consulting for people outside the fitness industry on how to use contests in their business, transformation contests in their business, even people that are home contractors. So it's really, you know, taken on a life of its own for me. But going back to, you know, the reason why I started this was to really give people that kick in the butt, like you said, and to get them going, because it helps build community, it gives them social support. And then what we do at the end of the 12 weeks is we've got these new celebrities and these heroes, you know, just like you see on The Biggest Loser and that type of stuff. You know, these people are now complete inspiration stories to other people. What we have is a success story for every demographic. So people can come and say, oh, you know, this program is probably not going to work for me because I'm, you know, this age, I've got this, you know, lifestyle, got these many kids. And now we have a person who fits every one of those objections. And so we're finding that people are getting more results with the contest method because of the community, because of, you know, seeing someone who's done it before. It's taking away their excuses, also giving them a deadline. Really cool stuff. And it's helping people build better habits day by day. It's getting them to change their mindset and see that they can actually succeed. And it's also showing people how they really need to learn to test and track stuff for themselves. So, you know, people have to see, how do I respond if I eat a lot of carbohydrates? How do I respond if I eat a lot of grains? And people in these contests generally take everything a little more seriously and write stuff down. And they're finding out that, hey, you know what, everything, if I connect all these dots here, it shows me that I should probably work out, you know, three times per week in the morning so I get it done and life doesn't get in the way. And I should probably, you know, cut back on, you know, going to these places on the weekend because that's when I end up, you know, eating too many calories. And you know what, I can probably cut back on saturated fat and I do better by eating more carbohydrates. And, you know, just people test and track this stuff, they'll find out an amazing amount of information about themselves, like I said, in that short amount of time, the 12 weeks. It's a crash course in your body 101 sort of thing. And I mean, it really will set you up for life if you do this little commitment to it. And I think people can get to the point of knowing how their body reacts to stuff so that they can get to a level where they know exactly what works and what doesn't. And so that we have success stories now who I believe could not become overweight again, even if they tried. I mean, that's how well they know their body. That's how well they have their habits ingrained. And, you know, I mean, you and I, we would have a hard time getting overweight because we'd know where to stop. And so that's a really big educational thing for people, that getting these contests is they just learn so much. And so, you know, got a little off track there, but I think these things are just way more powerful than I thought it ever could be. And it's pretty cool. And it's great to see people get these results, and they change not only their physical appearance, but they change a lot about them themselves, mentally, emotionally. They, you know, can say that they grow, become different people. It's very interesting, very powerful, and very motivational to other people.
Absolutely. Do you have like a date set for the next transformation contest that, you know, the listeners should keep a lookout for? Do you have any thoughts on when you'll be doing that?
Yeah, we run them three times per year. And so the next one's going to end middle of April, and that's when we'll have the voting then we generally have a 2-week grace period where no one does anything, you know, officially. And then we'll probably open it up from May 1st to the near, maybe the entire month of May. So you can start anywhere in that month, and then we'll be done in early August for the next one. So, and that allows us to have a nice, you know, schedule to get three done in before the end of the year. And one thing that was really cool last year is I almost didn't do the third one at the end of the year. And that one actually turned out to be the best one. I mean, they get better every single time, but I was really surprised at how well people did in the transformation contest that went up to, you know, the second or third week of December. And so people were sticking through it over, you know, the big holidays here in North America. And, I was really impressed. I was really happy that I did that. And so I'm going to continue to do them. And I also, you know, we run little mini ones on that Twitter website that a lot of people are starting to use these days. And that's a big one to do because people get so much accountability and social support. I mean, it sounds like such a silly website for people that first hear of it, but it's very powerful for the accountability. So even for myself, when I started using it, I told people on my list, I'm going to go on there and tell people what I'm eating for all my meals. And, you know, that was the main point. I just wanted to show, be a good example. And, you know, I ate pretty well prior to that. But then I realized that, you know, like most people eventually realize when they start taking track of their food intake, that there's probably a few more dietary indiscretions in there than you think you have in there, until you start writing it down. And I realized that if I wanted to be the good role model to people that were reading this stuff, I had to kind of sharpen up my act a bit. And so just, you know, logging your food intake on Twitter, which is what we ask people to do in the contest, they end up getting more results because of the accountability. So, you know, that's another use of the transformation contest. But we're going to start the next one. It'll be running through May will be the time to enter. So I'm not sure when the cutoff date will be. Might be the last day of May.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about some of the questions that we got from the audience. The first one's from Dave W. He asks, first I wanted to give you, wanted you guys to know that I'm becoming an avid listener to the podcast and I'm, that it has really helped in getting me back into the gym and motivated. I'm a federal law enforcement officer and now know how important fitness is, but I've been really horrible at letting, quote, real life, like kids and paperwork, get in the way of my fitness. I'm 28 years old, and in 2000, I was 5'10", almost 300 pounds with about 39% body fat. A lot of hard work got me down to 165 pounds and about 14% body fat by 2005, but now I am back up to around 210 pounds and 25%. A workout buddy who does a lot of, quote, fad workout plans recently showed me an article in Muscle and Fitness about a Japanese workout plan called Tabata, which seemed like it might actually have some merit to it. The plan claimed to really burn off the fat through lifting workouts. My question is this. I've always trained to have lift days and cardio days and to use at least 5 minutes of rest, least a minute of rest between sets of lifts. This plan calls for 20 seconds of lifting and 10 seconds of rest for 8 consecutive sets. I don't usually buy into fad workouts, but I did 1 week of what the plan called for and it did really kick my butt. Does this sort of workout have any kind of merit behind its claims to torch fat, or is it just a waste of effort? For the record, I am eating fairly clean diet and trying very hard through my Fit Day account to make sure that I have a calorie deficit as well. Thanks so much. That's from Dave.
I can't believe you read that entire letter. Anyways,
that was tough. Sorry. I've been drinking a lot of green tea, man. I apologize.
It's a good letter, and I appreciate Dave for writing in. And you know, a lot of people are using the Tabata or whatever people want to call it, and it certainly does have merit. I mean, the biggest thing is, and I'm very upfront about this, is your diet has the most absolute biggest factor in how you lose body fat. And if anybody's done these type of workouts, they know how difficult they are. And I've got, you know, if he's enjoying that and it's a good program, I certainly have no problem with him doing it. And, you know, I hope he gets results. I mean, there's obviously pros and cons to doing that type of lifting. If, you know, and not like really bad cons, but I mean, if you want to get really strong, it's probably not going to be the best way for you to get really strong. But if you want to simply burn body fat in a very short amount of time And, you know, I use the phrase sculpt your muscles, and certainly it's going to help you, provided that your diet's good. And you know, because it's such a short workout, it helps keep people sticking to the plan. So certainly have no problem with it. And I hope that he continues to get good results with it. So, you know, my workouts aren't exactly like that, but we have started to use that little 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off in bodyweight intervals. So if anybody wants to go to my YouTube channel and see, it's youtube.com/CBAthletics. And I put a bodyweight interval program up there using, you know, that exact 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. What we do, you know, very simple stuff. You know, we'll just use, we don't do it for the lifting part. I think that just gets too far away from my bodybuilding roots and, you know, strength training roots to get doing something like that. But we use it, like I said, with bodyweight exercises. You know, for example, something like the squat, we'll do something where we'll do bodyweight squats for 20 seconds and then hold that bottom position for 10 seconds of the squat, and then we'll repeat that, like, you know, the 8 consecutive sets like they do, and then we'll move on to another exercise, and we'll do that, you know, not always for 8 consecutive sets, but, you know, we'll do push-ups, 20 seconds push-ups, 10 second hold at the top. You're not going to be able to do eight rounds of that. But, I mean, there's tons and tons of people using the 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And again, short workouts, lots of fun, different way of doing things. Yes, it's going to help you lose body fat. It's going to help you sculpt your muscles, build a bit of muscle. So if he likes it, keep going for it. And, you know, of course, you know, train safe and have fun.
Absolutely. You brought up the point about training safe. And I saw a couple just random people in the gym the other day doing lunges, and they were just going from lunges to what I guess would be called jump pull-ups, as they had to jump up from a box to do each rep of the pull-ups, and they ended up telling me that they're doing a CrossFit workout, and it just, the form was horrible. So I guess, I mean, the take-home message that you had was just, you know, keep it safe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody, you know, what, no matter what type of workout or who designed it, everybody can go and do the exercises improperly. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly not a specific type of workout that encourages bad form. I mean, everybody should know and do the workouts with the proper form, sorry, not bad form. You know, yesterday I was in the gym and there was some, I'm not sure how old the kids are. Maybe they're 19, maybe they're 21, but I mean, man, they were deadlifting and it was like the competition to see whose back could round the most. I can't imagine how they feel today. There was three of them, and two of these guys were going crazy. And the other guy was like, you think really we should be doing it like this? And I didn't say anything, but I mean, they just had such bad form. I mean, it was painful to watch. And everybody, you know, you got those types of people in every gym, and some people don't realize that they're doing something bad. I mean, the number one thing I would say is really try to avoid rounding your back and you know, keep that neutral spine with the arch in the low back and keep it tight there and brace your abs and you know, but most people, that's probably the number one rule that they neglect in the gym. I mean, everything from dumbbell rows to kickbacks, people are doing it with the rounded back and and crunches and sit-ups and stuff like that. I mean, certainly there's not a good reason for people to be trained like that. So, you know, form is something that you'll never be able to get everybody using proper form, and you can only hope. You know, the one thing I'll say is yesterday's, what I saw yesterday and what you probably saw and what people see every day, it just shows you the resiliency of the human body and how much punishment it can take, you know, from bad form and bad lifting. So it's very interesting. I always like to point out that the human body is a very complex machine, and it's hard to predict how it's going to respond to certain things, even if you think that someone should be practically crippled by the way they train. Some people just, you know, they're not going to have any problems.
That's a great point. Next question that we have. I have a question regarding interval training. I'm currently studying to become a strength coach, and I've been in the private sector for a number of years. I have always done my homework and made sure that my protocols for working with my clients are always up to date. Every time my clients have questions, I love to be on the point and usually have an answer for them. And I'm just going to get to the gist of this question, but the question is in regards to EPOC, in that he knows, or he's been told, that the epoch effect will burn calories for up to 48 hours. He has a general idea of what epoch is, but what is it exactly that happens to create the effect? Is there any evidence? Has this ever been measured, if possible?
Well, I think my answer is going to be really wishy-washy, and people aren't going to like it. But you know, I have no idea what exactly is going on, and you know, if it really burns a lot of calories after. I mean, I definitely used to think that it had a big calorie afterburn effect. And certainly there is this graded response, a very scalable response between how we feel after light aerobic training compared to how we feel after heavy sprinting. So there's certainly some physiological differences going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, some people are suggesting that, you know, there really isn't a whole lot of extra calorie burning after. And then you got some other research that shows that interval training increases the use of free fatty acids after training. And then some research shows that it increases epinephrine or norepinephrine. I can't remember exactly which one or if it did both. I mean, that was the Australian research study that compared interval training and cardio for fat loss in women. And so if you increase those hormones, you increase fat burning, but you can also decrease appetite with those hormones. And then, you know, so maybe that's more of the stimulus that's helping people lose body fat, because you know, I came across another cardio study recently in the last couple of years from the UK where, you know, some people respond to regular cardio training by actually eating more. So maybe the interval training helps control appetite, and cardio training, you know, for some people, they might actually eat more. I mean, and then there's growth hormone. You know, does the increase in growth hormone from sprint type training actually have an effect, or is it irrelevant? You know, can we really manipulate hormones that much by training? So it's really, really a complex situation. I don't know how many calories it does burn, if it really does burn a significant number of calories. I mean, certainly we're not sitting around sweating buckets for hours and, you know, 48 hours if you did interval training. But, you know, certainly some people do feel different after training that way. So I don't know exactly what's happening, but I do know that we're getting at least the same, if not better, results from shorter workouts. And you know, that goes back to Dave W's question about, you know, the Tabata intervals. And you know, it's certainly, we'll probably see a lot more of this type of research because it's becoming very popular, not only for, you know, our real interests, which is fat loss, but I mean, we're starting to see interval training use in cardiac rehabilitation, and we're starting to see it used, you know, to help people who have metabolic syndrome or diabetes or whatever you want to call it. So we're starting to see it being used quite a bit in all types of research studies, and we're showing that it can increase aerobic fitness. And so we're going to learn a lot more about it. Right now it's a bit of a black box, and you know, I'll just take the results that we get from it and you know, just be happy that that's what we have. We have something that is working, and hopefully we'll find out exactly why as we go along.
All right, so now let's talk a little bit about abs, because, again, that's, you know, what a lot of people are going for when they're trying to lose fat. They want to see that six-pack, that eight-pack. Some people just want to start seeing abs whatsoever. So I know you're putting together some really cool stuff for ab training. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so let's separate out, you know, what you just mentioned. I mean, obviously the people that are, you know, 40, 50 pounds overweight, they just need the basic stuff because, you know, the beginners, they need to learn how to, you know, even use those muscles. I mean, I'm sure that now that you're working in the commercial gym setting, you have people that come to you who don't know how to do a plank properly because they've never literally used those muscles in an exercise like that. So, you know, you have that aspect of the spectrum where people are, you know, it's really just muscle education. So, you know, planks, side planks, bird dog, that, you know, the plain and simple stuff. And then as we go along the scale, we get into people who can do those exercises with good control and stuff. And then so, you know, at this point, I really want people to kind of max out on the benefits they can get from exercises that aren't really considered abdominal exercises. So chins and front squats, kettlebell swings, those types of exercises can have a real big benefit. I know when I first gave one of my female clients chin-ups, the first time she'd ever done chin-ups, you know, she came back the next day and reported a lot of soreness, not the next day, 2 days later, and, you know, reported a lot of soreness in her and abdominals. So we didn't do any abdominal, you know, direct abdominal training that day. So if you have people that don't do those exercises, you can get a lot of results just with the basic, you know, classic multi-muscle exercises. So those exercises are great. And then we move on into some of the combination exercises. I mean, I'm going to call them, because I think you can use an abdominal exercise and make it a multi-muscle exercise. So here are three I want to share with you. And none of these are like really original. I'm sure everybody's seen them before. Well, not everybody's seen them before, but a lot of people that are into advanced exercise probably done something like this or done this exact exercise long before I've ever done it. So I'm not making anything up new here. But the one thing that I like that I'm going to have in one of my new programs is doing a side plank and then adding a dumbbell lateral raise to it. So, you know, you're doing your side plank, and I kind of got this combination from an exercise. You know, this side. Some people do the side plank where you take that upper arm and you reach underneath your body. But if you continue to brace your abdominals, you're resisting the rotation there, so it's a bit of a good exercise. And then also saw in Men's Health magazine the other month that Bill Hartman recommended a side-lying lateral raise, and I thought I'd give it a shot to see if you could do a dumbbell lateral raise in that position. And like I said, somebody else has probably put this in a magazine somewhere, but it's actually a really good exercise. You can do that side-lying dumbbell lateral raise in the side plank position, add stress to the side plank. Adds, obviously, it works your, you know, Bill Hartman put it in to work the posterior deltoid and even help the rotator cuff muscles there. So it's a really good two-in-one sort of exercise that neither one is sacrificing. You know, see some of these exercises where they get two-in-one, you know, people doing lunges with bicep curls. Well, I mean, that's not really a two-in-one exercise. It's kind of, I mean, you know, you're limiting your lunging by the bicep curl weight. So, I mean, the lunge is almost kind of pointless. But the dumbbell lateral raise here with the side plank, you're really not limiting yourself by either exercise. So it really is a nice combination, two and one. And so that's one way to spice up an otherwise boring exercise, because, you know, I do use the side plank quite a bit in my programs because I think it's an essential part for my clientele. So, you know, we're looking for something to step it up. So that's a neat one there. And then I also like another combination is pull-ups and chin-ups with knee-up. So, you know, a hanging knee raise, you just combine that when you do a chin-up or a pull-up. And so as you do the pull-up, you bring your knees up to your chest, as you pull yourself up to the bar. And then here's where it really becomes more of the advanced abdominal exercises. When you lower yourself, you lower your knees down to the starting position at the same time. And it adds extra eccentric stress. And so, you know, no matter what side of the debate you're on, whether there's lower abs, if there's not lower abs, you'll actually have muscle soreness in what most people would call the lower abdominal area. So whether it's the external obliques or, you know, or the internal obliques, whatever may be getting sore there, that you will actually find that movement, for lack of a better term, can train the lower abdominal area. So that was a pretty interesting one. I kind of really had a lot of fun with that one last year and started using it. And then the one that another combination exercise is a dumbbell pullover on the stability ball. So, I mean, I even like dumbbell tricep extensions to work your abs, because when you lower a heavy weight behind your head, you actually can get a stretch in the abdominals. And I've done some heavy arm workouts where I've actually had sore abs the next day because of the stretch as you lower yourself back, you know, even just on a bench when you're doing heavy dumbbell extensions. And so, you know, you have to be a little more conservative because you're going on a ball with this one. But, you know, just with the proper setup and using a dumbbell for just a pullover exercise, you can actually get a little extra stretch in the abdominals and a very good abdominal exercise, you know, two in one here with the dumbbell pullover. So those are three combination exercises that I'm liking these days, and I don't see, you know, a whole lot of downside to them. Of course, you got to do everything with proper form and be conservative. You know, don't fall off the ball. Don't, you know, drop the dumbbell on your face. That would kind of suck. and you know, don't be using too much momentum and too much speed in that pull-up and chin up with knee up, and you know, making sure that you're not swinging your legs. So done properly, those can be some nice little exercises there. And then simple crunch replacements. You know, people are probably sick of me saying that I don't use crunches or sit-ups, but you know, we like to take those out of the program, and three simple replacements we'll use. One of my favorite simple exercises for the abdominal stability ball rollout. So when you're on your knees, very similar to the ab wheel. If you don't have an ab wheel, though, most people probably have a ball more than they'd have an ab wheel. So kneeling, and you just roll out over the ball, keep your body in a straight line. You get that strong stretch as you go out, and then a strong contraction on the way back. And for people that have never done that one before, that can be induce quite a bit of soreness to the abdominals. So don't go crazy and do five sets of 15 or anything the first time out on that. And you also have to be very careful on that one, you know, just to make sure your body stays in a straight line. You don't let your lower back sag in. And then a stability ball jackknife is another one I like. Even if you just do a plank with your elbows on the ball, elbows on the bench and feet on the ball, just that's an extra difficult plank exercise. You have a little bit more muscle control required. That's a good place to start if you are a little uncomfortable doing the tucking in and tucking out with the knees there in that exercise. And cross body mountain climbers. So you're in the push-up position and, you know, bracing your abs, holding your body straight there, and you're bringing your knee up in a mountain climber type style. But instead of driving it straight up, you drive it across your body to your opposite elbow. And I think I have, you know, those last three exercises are in one of my YouTube videos. So we have a few abdominal workout videos on YouTube. You can probably find those exercises performed. Again, youtube.com/CBAthletics, and you'll find all our YouTube videos. And that one's pretty recent, so you shouldn't have to have a hard time finding that one. So that's what I'm doing with abdominal exercises these days, but also blending them into the entire workout so that, you know, you're not generally not doing, you know, your workout, your lifting portion, and then going and doing, you know, 20 minutes of ab stuff. So you'll find these in the supersets or combined in a total body circuit. So that's how we're training the ab stuff these days.
Now, as you know, there's somewhat of an economic crisis going on in the world. People are freaking out, and, you know, things are starting to, you know, people need to save some money wherever they can. And we've been having a lot of questions to the podcast about, you know, setting up home gyms. Like, what are the necessities? Are, you know, can people even get an effective workout at home? So, you know, like, what are your general recommendations for your clients that have to train in a basement?
Well, it's a good question, and it certainly is something that we're getting a lot of feedback on these days, and I'm seeing a lot more people wanting to have completely no equipment workouts. And I think that's a great market for trainers who are doing info products and stuff. Is, I mean, I call it desert island workouts. I mean, literally, if you're a good trainer, you should be able to come up with really good workouts so people can do with absolutely no equipment. I mean, the toughest thing to train is the upper back without equipment, because, you know, if you don't have a pull-up bar, it's very difficult to replicate that motion. But I mean, everything else you can pretty much train that way. I mean, I personally in my home have two kettlebells, a 35-pounder and a 53-pounder. Here in the city, out in the country, at my other home, I have a 70-pound dumbbell. So I like training kettlebells outside, mostly in the summertime, and so I leave it out there. And then I have a stability ball, and I have what else do I have? That's pretty much it. I mean, I have light dumbbells, and I have a medicine ball, but I don't use those very much. Dumbbells are really just more if anybody's training here with me in my house for them, for clients. And really, you can do quite a bit with the kettlebell stuff. And I highly recommend first, you know, the first thing you do is go to a used sports store and, you know, grab whatever you can there, because I've gone there and gotten, I mean, there's certainly a lot of stuff. I mean, you can get adjustable dumbbells. You can probably get kettlebells now. And that's really all you need to get started. The stability balls are quite cheap. And we don't do very many exercises where the body weight is supported by the stability ball. I mean, we're doing more the rollouts. You're not sitting on the ball there. You're doing the stability ball leg curls. That's probably one of the exercises that, you know, it's difficult to replicate a stability ball leg curl with anything else. And so that's a piece of equipment that you definitely want to have in your arsenal. And you can do a lot at home. I mean, you can do a lot in the parks. I mean, here in North America now it's becoming warm enough. Well, not warm enough everywhere. I mean, certainly not after the snow you guys got. But, I mean, I could go and work out outside today here in Toronto. And, you know, obviously we got 6 months of that coming up, so we can certainly get outside and use some workouts in parks and stuff like that. There really isn't a whole lot of excuses. I mean, if the guys in prison can work out in very small spaces with no equipment, they can be very creative and come up with stuff. So that's what I recommend, is certainly going to the used sports stores and seeing what you can get. You know, bartering, trading with people that you know who have used equipment, and maybe you've got some stuff sitting around that you don't need. So there's certainly no reason not to get a good workout in somewhere along the line. But, you know, it's certainly a valid question. So we're seeing a lot of people moving towards that and saying, you know, what can I do with the least amount of equipment at home?
Lastly, let's talk about what's going on with Turbones Training at ttmembers.com and also Turbones Training for abs.com and finally the TT Library.
Well, the biggest thing that we got going on is the transformation contest. We talked about that a little bit. Next one's starting in May. And the newest thing that I did is we have all these monthly workouts, and so we went and put them all available on this page called turbulencetraining.com/workouts. And so you can go on there, and if you want to just only have the, you know, Turbulence Training Bodyweight 500 from October 2007, now you can go and get that for $10. And so, you know, we're making things very economically affordable. They just want part of the package. So you can go and get any of the, I think I'm up to about 45 monthly workouts now. I started doing monthly workouts back in October of 2005. And so you can get any one of those ones for just $10. And we've got some very popular ones, including the ones that we've had this year are quite popular. So I did Turbulence Training 2K9, which is a January program of all the best stuff I learned in the last year. And then February, we had a pretty cheeky name for it. We called it the Turbulence Training for Buff Dudes and Hot Chicks. And that one actually had a lot of feedback. On one of the workouts was called the toughest workout in Turbulence Training history by a lot of people. So that have done a lot of the programs. And so Workout C, I think, actually uses a bodyweight intervals, the timed bodyweight intervals, that using that 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. So people thought that was the hardest workout. So that's been popular. And then March, you know, I went with the March Madness theme, and so we did March Madness circuits for this month of March, and you can get that one on the site as well. And I think the other popular programs are the Bodyweight 500 and the Bodyweight 1000, and also the Turbulence Training for Women program has been very popular. So people can browse through those. I've also got the another cheeky name program called Turbulence Training for Meatheads. That's pretty much what I do. And we had two of those programs last year. And then we had another popular one called Bodyweight Cardio, which goes along the lines of what people are trying to do with absolutely no equipment, or, you know, not going to the gym type of thing and not doing, you know, stuff on a treadmill. So I've got something for everybody, and we're just having fun with those workouts. And that's what it's all about, because, you know, going back to the original question that Dave W. is asking about, you know, how he can lose fat, and, you know, or the very original question was about, you know, how much fat can people lose in 12 weeks before Memorial Day. Well, it really is all about diet, and then the workout is really, you know, what can you find that's going to keep you doing things consistently. And so finding the workout that, you know, is fun for you. And then also we found one other thing that I want to mention that goes along with the transformation contest, but also goes along with those 300 workout or bodyweight 500 workout, you know, that challenge type workout, is really keeping people motivated. And I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the last FitCast, but I mean, I'm just shocked by how much more compliant people are when there's some type of measurable workout program that people can compare themselves to on a frequent basis. It's huge. You know, even if you make up your own little challenge of, you know, how many push-ups, squats, and pull-ups can I do? I'm going to do this every Saturday. I mean, that's just going to keep people motivated, and that's the key to consistency with the workouts. And then, you know, you can hopefully tie in the key to consistency with the nutrition there as well. And that's how you're going to lose those 15 to 30 pounds before Memorial Day. So that's what's new, and that's what's going on with our stuff.
Nice, man. Well, if people want to follow Craig, you can actually go to twitter.com/CraigValentine and you can start following him on Twitter. And like you said, he's always updating it with his meals throughout the day, and also posting any blogs and news in regards to turbulence training. So make sure to check that out as well. And if you aren't already, you should be checking out ttmembers.com, folks. A multitude of programs, and it's very cool what you're doing right now with turbulencetraining.com/workouts. You know, people, I don't know if you realize this, but you can get a month's worth of programming for $10. That's pretty good. That's pretty good in this day and age. So, Craig, I really appreciate you coming back on the show, man. And it's, you know, it's always great to have you on every couple months to talk about fat loss, and especially in this time where, you know, the sun's starting to shine a little bit more and the water's starting to warm up, so we could get to the beach pretty soon.
Yep, man. It's countdown time till what Alan Cosgrove calls the official unveiling, or I don't know what he calls it, but whatever. Summertime is coming up, so let's get the most results in the least amount of time and have fun doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Craig. We will talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry, that was
really bad. Who would I pick? If I could pick one, Natalie Portman's up there.
She's cute, dude. I mean, she's attractive.
No, but you know, I don't like these. Like, honestly, one of the biggest turnoffs for me is...
Boobs and ass.
Jonathan likes his boobs.
Yeah.
All right, this is the off-topic section, by the way, folks.
Oh, you better not be recording this.
Should I not record this?
I'm coughing.
This is a little. This is off topic.
This is off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Natalie Portman's good, and if who
every
else?
Week we do this in the off topic, we just talk about girls. We really need to think of something else in the off topic.
Well, if Lee was here, we could talk about boys.
No, Lee's not going to be appearing today. I forgot to tell you that. Last minute thing that came up.
Anyway.
I don't know. I like normal looking people. I just don't like one of the biggest turnoffs is just like chicks that look like they come from ridiculous amounts of money and they get all dolled up and shit. Like, if you look like a doll, I will not want to talk to you.
I'm not saying I like that, but when I mean, she doesn't look like that all the time.
Alright.
She could.
She has a freaking badonkadonk, man.
That would be like Mike Robertson's like perfect night. Girlfriend.
What's that?
What was that?
That'd be like the perfect girlfriend for Mike Robertson.
I know, right? I'm heading out there in 2 weeks, by the way.
Oh, are you?
Why?
Yeah. I'm just gonna fly out on Friday. I wanna visit their facility and just kinda watch, but Bill's gonna look at me.
Sweet.
But no, I'm heading out there Friday, and then I'll fly back on Sunday. But I just want to hang out there and chill for a day or two.
Where are you staying? At Mike's?
Yeah, I'm staying with Mike.
Cool.
You can play some Halo with me.
Sure, yeah.
On Mike's Xbox.
I'm going to go all the way to Indianapolis just to play Halo against you.
God, I love it. Yeah, and I, by the way, I fucking hate you and Eric.
Why?
For multiple reasons, and you'll get yours on Mike Robinson's premiere episode of this podcast.
What do I have to do with it? You're the one that keeps missing.
You put the videos on the internet and then put it in your blog and then put it in Eric's blog.
In his blog.
Oh, the fail? The bench fail?
Epic fail?
Yeah.
And you know what? I will let Cressy write me a bench program in like 2 months. Yeah. He can go for it. Once you give it a shot. Like, honestly, the biggest thing that's holding me back is I can't... Anytime I start benching, my elbow starts hurting. I'm a pussy, yeah.
Max is 280. Not 300.
It's not 280. I think it was a little bit higher than that.
I wanted to IM you guys, and it says that I can't IM you guys. I was going to send you a link to something really cool.
Can't send it in that box. We're all in a
It says the call host is using an old version of Skype that can't combine calls and IM at the same time. Click here to create a new group with same people.
I think that means you. I don't think it means me.
Oh, there. Now I got it. Here. I clicked. Okay. So, oh, did that work? Do you guys see the link?
Mm-hmm.
What's
okay,
that?
So I'm. That is the... I'm going to have animal Jennifer Santa. Okay. that is the Sports Cardiovascular Nutrition Wellness Group. They're an RD. They're a dietetic practice group of the American Dietetic Association. And I'm going to go to this meeting because one of the speakers there is Bob Sabora, who is the head dietitian for the Olympic Training Center. And I did apply for this job, but I think because I'm not a CSSD, like dietitians have this, like, they're a cult. Like, any person who's an RD, they're like a cult. They're just crazy. And they're taking over the sports nutrition. And, like, you know, to my demise, you know, even though I have all my, I have a PhD in exercise science, you know, a dude with an MSRD, because he runs triathlons or he does triathlons, he is qualified to be the head Olympic coach of the Olympic Training Center.
That's pretty and I'm perfect. Like,
or not head Olympic coach, sorry, the head dietitian. So I never got a call back, and I'm a little sad about that. But it's not like I was going to take the job anyway because I couldn't leave Justin. But still, so I'm going to go to this meeting. It's in next month in Arizona, and it's all these sports dietitians, like dietitians that – like they only hire RDs to be the dietitians for like NFL or any professional sports team. They only hire RDs. So even though John Berardi, you know, for example, he has certain teas up there in Canada, he couldn't have that same impact here in the U.S., like with professional teams. He was working with university teams, but he couldn't have it with professional teams. And I want to be in a professional team.
Right.
But anyway, I'm going to go to this meeting and network. I just wanted to show you guys because there's actually some interesting things. A lot of it I'm going to, like, roll my eyes and feel like throwing up and poking.
You're going to do more than that.
Yeah, whatever. But still, it's a networking thing. It's kind of, yeah. And I get
it's
it paid
cool,
for.
Though.
I get it
Sweet.
Paid for. It's all.
It's kind of cool,
okay,
though.
Enough. Off.
Tony, on a scale of 1 to hell fucking yeah, what is your anticipation level for this movie today?
Well, considering that it's an IMAX, any movie in IMAX is pretty kick ass. So I saw The Dark Knight in IMAX, and this one, I've been pretty excited for this one for about a year now. I didn't read the novel, unfortunately, but so I guess I can't say I'm as much of a nerd as some guys out there, but I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, not only am I doing the FitCast with you, but I'm actually going to be hanging out with you after the FitCast, which says a lot.
Yeah, it's meta.
The fact that I'm willing to do that, you know, be seen with you in public says a lot. So,
actually, I bet. I purchased the tickets.
Yes, you did.
So,
make sure don't forget them.
You can sip. No, we have to pick them up at the concession stand.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm gonna buy a $14 bottle of water because I'm gonna wear shorts today. It's 55 in.
Well, I think we're gonna be. Well, people are gonna be annoyed with us because we're both bringing our bags of beef jerky, and I could care less because
fuck them.
We'll complain about the smell, but last week I went to the movies. And I just hate how obnoxiously loud people are when they're eating their food, like opening wrappers, like not even trying to be quiet. It's just like I'm just like, what the hell? But yeah, we'll give each other high fives and eat our beef jerky and whatever row we're sitting in.
And 1 ounce of almonds.
Yes.
2 ounces beef jerky, 1 ounce almonds.
Well, I'm not dieting like you, so I'll probably bring like an entire bag of almonds and eat that or something.
I was thinking about even bringing like a shaker bottle and just having a protein shake, but I would like to
actually. That's a good idea. I'll do that. I'll actually bring because I haven't eaten that much today. I did my stadium sprints
except for your pancakes.
I had the pancakes right before we started taping, and then I'll probably get a small meal after we're done, and then by the time we get to the movie, it'll be time to eat again. So I might actually just bring like a shake with me and do that. It is a long movie. It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is pretty long.
And it's going to be I'm not one of those that are going to want to get up and leave and go to the bathroom. And IMAX theaters are pretty...
It's hard.
It's hard to get up and go to the bathroom in an IMAX theater. Because if you're in the middle, you're screwed.
Yeah, so we're just going to one thing I was going to – I might as well tell you in the off-topic discussion so I don't forget that we have to be there. It's like a 5:30 movie, but we have to be like in line by 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I don't know if when you went to Batman, the line is ridiculous. And if you want to get it
– it's going
to
be ridiculous for this, considering this opening weekend.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you actually got tickets, but
I got connections.
I want to say it's a 15, 20-minute drive for me. So
yeah, it's about 20 for me too.
So it's not going to be that bad. I mean, we'll get done taping this at, what, 3, 3:30, and then I'll probably just leave shortly thereafter. So.
All right.
I'll talk to some chicks in line at Watchmen. I'm sure they'll be pretty cool.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Tony Gentlecore.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure you'll have plenty of friends that have seen Harry Potter, though, and Lord of the Rings.
I can't wait, Nat. That's coming out this summer.
I think we had an email with some Lord of the Rings stuff in it. Oh no, that was a I got an email from someone about the whole thing that's going on with Cressy and I right now, and
with the benching.
Yeah, and he said, to quote a line from Tony Gentlecore's favorite trilogy, "One of you must do this." I don't know what that's from. I'm guessing Lord of the Rings, though.
There can only be one.
He also said, by the way, Stargate is okay, but Battlestar Galactica is where it's at.
It quite amazes me how people like know about this whole Lord of the Rings, Stargate, and how many people comment on it. It's kind of funny.
Well, I was talking about The Watchmen on Facebook, and I think I got like 6 or 7 people within 5 minutes reply saying, yes, going to see Watchmen, awesome movie, saw it last night.
Well, the thing I've heard about it, like you and I were talking about it earlier, Kevin, it's not like a happy-go-lucky, you know, Spider-Man, like, let's
it's not
rescue the world and give each other high fives. You know, it's like, I heard it's pretty dark. This, like I said, I didn't read the novel, but the novel is actually, it deals with some pretty dark material. So.
And there's possible boobies. It's rated R.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard there's nudity. Yeah.
Boobies on IMAX, no, nuts.
Dude, there's full frontal male nudity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mr., you know, whatever the guy's name is, the energy guy, he's like naked the whole time.
Oh, Mr. Manhattan?
Yeah, that's it.
Huh. I'm gonna call myself Mr. Manhattan. I'm just gonna introduce myself as Mr. Manhattan from now on.
That's cool. Cass, are you gonna go see Watchmen?
No, because I have no life this month.
Oh, how's that going?
I'm going to get done in the next 4 weeks if it kills me, and I think it will kill me, so that's all I can say about that.
A little under the weather this week.
After you're done, are you coming out to CP for a little bit or not?
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah. I have a lot of plans to do many things with my life after I'm done this thing.
Go on vacation, first of all.
No, I have no money to do that. No money. It's all drying up. It's my scholarship ends the end of May, but I have funding for travel up until then. But my scholarship ends the end of May, but I still have my internship till the end of June. And I think I'm getting my work visa because I have to go for fingerprints next weekend. So it's a... You guys don't understand, but to be a Canadian is not so much fun.
Valentine says it's warm up there now, though.
Or
wherever,
it's warm up there?
Wherever he is. Yeah, it's just snow's melting a little bit.
Oh, Craig. Oh, yeah. Well, yep, it probably is because it is spring and the whole world experiences spring, even Canada.
Isn't that nuts?
I didn't realize it was daylight savings time this morning, by the way.
Oh, me neither.
Do any of you actually have a clock that doesn't adjust by itself? I have a cell phone, I have my digital cable box, and my computer, and they all did it themselves.
Well, they did that themselves, but my clock next to my bed didn't. So I got up thinking it was a certain time, and I texted Eric to see if he wanted to go do sprints, thinking that it was a time. And I was like, oh, we'll meet at 10:30, and I thought it was like 8:30. And then I turned on my computer and said it was 9:30. I'm like, what the – I didn't realize it was daylight savings time last night.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right, it was.
I was all out of sorts this morning. You know.
Okay.
Gee, do any of you guys have a recommendation for a good rice protein for a client of mine?
Nutribiotic.
Nutribiotic. Do you buy that online, or can you get that like at a vitamin shop? Vitamin shop. Nice.
It's the best tasting of all the rice proteins. The rice proteins pretty much all are a little chalky kind of tasting, but
can you spell that one more time? Sorry.
It's N-U-T-R-I.
Yep.
Biotic.
Okay, thanks.
Nutribiotic. And you can actually buy it online, too.
Cool.
But just buy it in the store, because then if you have to return it, you can return it.
Good call. All right. I don't think we have anything else for off-topic as I glance around my room to see if there's anything I wanted to talk about. I don't think there is.
Your collection of Transformers dolls?
No, you know, no, there's nothing I want to talk about. Although I did see Role Models last week. Awesome movie.
That's okay. I saw a really good movie the other night that didn't really get a lot of press, but Religious with Bill Maher.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, yeah, very good. So, well, depending on, you know, what side.
Yeah,
you follow,
I mean, obviously, you know, 95% of the world's population would probably hate it, but.
No, just 95%.
I'm surprised
America,
you liked it, since, you know, you're kind of.
Well,
on
I know.
The right
I'm
side.
More of a right wing guy, but Bill. I mean, but the thing is, I have the filter. You know, like, I'm able to look at both sides of the. You know, because I know Bill Maher's very left wing, liberal, you know, whatever. But, I mean, he doesn't bullshit around. You know, he brings up. He asks relevant questions.
Yeah.
You know, and that. I watched that documentary two nights ago, and.
Oh, by the way, tell Danny Verna to give me my. Effing bigger, faster, stronger DVD back.
It took him. He borrowed Tropic Thunder from me, and I swear to God, he had it for like 6 weeks.
That's right. I'm calling out
so,
Danny Verna.
Good luck getting it back, buddy.
Hey guys, I'm going to be right back. I have to run to my car and get my credit card because I'm buying something online at the moment. Hold on a second.
You know what? I won't lie.
The end of the.
I do some online shopping when I'm on, you know, the show too.
No, I'm buying my registration for this scan conference. I decided I was just going to do it right now.
That's
but I have
fine.
To get my credit card. It's in the car. I'll be right back.
We'll wait for it. We'll talk about hot chicks. Tony, have you seen any hot chicks lately?
No, I don't have any recommendations this week. Am I?
I sent Eric.
We could just keep talking about Crystal Forskit if we want.
No, I mean, that gets kind of old because then I can't look up pictures.
I don't have any. No, I don't have
any. Does T-Nation have any hot chicks?
I mean, lately I've been a Marissa Miller fan.
I don't know.
Lately.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
John, come on. Don't
where
even
you
give
been?
Me that.
Where like, you
oh,
been?
I've known about her for 2 weeks more than you did.
2 weeks? Come on.
There have been no hot chicks on FLZine.com yet, and I'm pissed.
That's
false
true.
Promises, Lee Peel. Although, you know what? I am really mad because I looked at the recipe for those cinnamon pumpkin protein muffins, and again, I wanted to die. And I wanted to be like, F this diet. Who needs abs, man? What are they good for? I mean, I have a cheese grater in the drawer of my kitchen.
Having abs is the answer to everything. It trumps everything.
I guess it is. And you know, I think I really am going to get there probably within the next 3 to 6 weeks.
Good. No, I saw your first week's progress pictures, and I was really impressed. So,
lost a lot.
Yep. Except your facial expressions are just not.
Well, those were at like, dude. I wake up in the morning, and it's so hard to get out of bed right now. I'm just my energy is zapped in the morning.
So how much Spike are you drinking? 3 cans a day.
Okay, this is.
You're drinking too, aren't you?
No, hold on.
Hold on.
Shut the fuck up. Oh. All right, I drink a can of Spike on my lifting days. On my non-lifting days, I have 2 liters of green tea from Trader Joe's. Two liters of their unsweetened green tea. And that usually keeps me going. And if I need a kick in the ass, I've only had 1 Spike on a non-lifting day, right?
Right.
And I've been, like I said, I've been trying to stay full by having things like seltzer water.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea, and I've been using that stuff. I think Cass actually told me about it. Glucomannan. I put that in all my protein shakes. So
hell yeah, I wrote a book about it.
Yeah, that's been pretty crucial.
I did my diet once, maybe twice a week. Normally, just once because there was only one day a week that was really low. It was a day that I did intervals. My calories that I wasn't as low as you are. But
Cass, can I ask you a question too after Tony's subject? Hey,
yep.
Just having a can of Diet Coke helped. Carbonation just kind of
fills you up. Yeah.
Especially when I was coaching all day, because like you said with energy levels when you're dieting, like you have a hard time getting up in the morning. Like I'm not that bad of a morning person. I'm fine, but you know once I get into like hour five or six of coaching, I'm like, oh.
Neither am I, but when you know I literally have set up my clients, so I train clients for 6 hours straight, back to back.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No, but it's a great job when you can work.
The Diet Coke helps, yeah.
Yeah.
And the green tea helps too.
Indeed. Cass, what's your opinion on stevia now?
Oh, I don't know.
Good or bad?
It's neutral.
Okay.
I've seen some research saying that it has some carcinogenic effects, but yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not like they're doing carcinogenic effects on sugar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who's not saying sugar's not causing cancer? Adam Campbell wrote a really good story about the connection between sugar and cancer in men's health. So I'm really not convinced when I just see a couple little things like that. Almost everything in this world causes cancer, so.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of my take on it. I use one or two packets of the Now Brand Stevia Balance to sweeten up my protein shakes during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the stuff.
Yeah, it can have a little bit of a wacky side aftertaste.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, when you're dieting, sweet things are the only thing that like keeps you sane sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I actually opened up my this is the last thing I'll say, then we'll go into the show. But my mom made this trail mix stuff, and it's like the stuff that she makes around Christmas, and it's just awesome. There's like Chex Mix, Life cereal, peanuts. There's honey in it, like M&Ms. And I opened up the batch and I just stuck my face into it, took a huge whiff, closed it, and just I thought I had to bring that up. Sorry.
You're in dieting mode.
When I was dieting, I was smelling everyone's food. It was insane.
It's bad. Oh, that who's that? Oh, that's the chick that's on Obama's staff.
Obama's staff? No, it's the Obama girl. Haven't you heard that song, Obama Girl?
Nope.
Man, you guys got to get out into the internet.
I've heard it. It's just
you have to get out into the internet.
That was awesome.
You know, we actually had some pretty good information in this off topic. I think people should listen to it.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Okay, we're going to wrap this up because the show is literally going to be like 3 hours long this week.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.